The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at RealTheUnderdog.
Hey everyone, welcome to a special edition of Get Paid, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy, gambling, and daily fantasy. This episode, we are going to be talking to betonline.ag's Dave Mason. We're just talking about the NFL season, how things are progressing. We are also going to clean it up with a nice, good old-fashioned start-sit segment. I'm going game by game, telling you whether to start or sit every key player in that game, and then also giving you touchdown predictions within each game as well. So we will start with my pre-recorded segment with Mr. Dave Mason. All right, and I'm here with the man from betonline.ag, Dave Mason. Dave, how you doing, buddy?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well, man. It's been a while since we talked. I remember last time we talked to one of your associates there. I think we've both been kind of running
Adam.
Yeah, different directions and everything. But how's the season been going for you? How's Bet Online doing so far this year? You above water? You below water? How's it going?
We're above. You know, there's September was a grind. You know, is won some, lost some. I mean, it wasn't the margin wasn't as high as we would have liked. But college football was a real grind in September. So, but it's heating up for the house the last couple of weeks. I mean, two Sundays ago was probably the best day in the company's history.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What were the big wins there?
Two Sundays ago. What was that? What was that? The Patriots.
Jets, right?
Yeah, Patriots. It was that weekend.
Yeah, it was brutal.
It was crazy for the house.
Yeah, Stidham throws that pick six. Oh, gosh, it broke my heart because right. I was on the Patriots there. I still feel good about that bet. That stupid punt block and touchdown is the flukiest thing, but that's how you make money, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that was just a massive, massive weekend. Oh, yeah, and then the Saints-Dallas game, that was huge that weekend. Tampa Bay winning outright, that was massive as well. Cleveland over Baltimore. I mean, that week was just
right
for the house. Past weekend was good for the house too. Saturday was good. College football finally turning around after a very mediocre September. NFL was 50-50 all day, and then the night game was really good for the house. So the Colts outright win, that blew up a lot of teasers, and most of the action was on the over and the Chiefs, and the outright win and an easy under really did good for the house.
Yeah, you know, I do, as you know, Dave, and people catching this, in the different mediums might not realize, but I run, in addition to the daily fantasy analytics that I do for fantasy football, I actually run analytics for sports betting too. And I don't use them exclusively, but basically, you know, I have equations and everything. Just it's not like I'm at a beautiful mind, you know, writing with a marker on glass window or anything like that. But, you know, I do some stuff and my computers were screaming at me to take Indianapolis in the game. I was like, well, I'm not doing that. But what I did do is at least was avoid that pitfall. And I tell you another one, Oakland, it was screaming at me to take Oakland. I imagine you were probably exposed a little bit if the Bears had won. How did that work out for you?
Yeah, no, that was a big win for the house. That was one of the better afternoon games for us. Probably the second best game of the day for us.
Yeah. I remember when we talked, it might have been one of our first conversations dating back to last season, and you were telling me that, because I was asking you, we usually talk on a Tuesday, today we're talking on a Monday, but we usually talk to Tuesday, and I'll ask you, you know, where's this smart money going? You say, well, you know, the sharp guys don't really start placing their bets till a little bit later in the week, and so, you know, with that kind of feedback from you, I started kind of watching the lines, because now I do some shows later in the week, and I saw, I think the line opened up. Forgive me, I could be off on this, but I feel like it opened up at Chicago -4.5. And then by the time I looked at it Sunday morning, it was -6.5. I was like, whoa.
So yeah.
It must be a lot of money going over there.
Yeah. It was definitely one of the bigger decisions of the day. So we were definitely rooting for Oakland there. I mean, we got crushed on New England every week. You know, coming into this week too, Thursday night game, hosting New York Giants. I mean, that's going to be another huge New England decision.
Sure.
But yeah, so those are two of the biggest decisions of the day. One won for us, one against us.
Yeah, I know Belichick. I was actually just reading the stats. They were outdated, but like his cover percentage against rookie quarterbacks is something like, like 85% or something like that. I don't know what the line is yet, but I guess it hadn't mattered. But those stats are a couple years old, so I don't know. It was also a little bit different these days with a rookie quarterback than it was, in the. Even 5 years ago. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about futures. So one of the things I got to say, you kind of alerted me to this early in the offseason, and I was asking, where was the money going for futures, Super Bowl wins, over-unders, and all that stuff. And you said that the a lot of the sharp money was going on the Bills early in the offseason. I remember saying, what, really? And, I started watching them in preseason, and I started thinking, I didn't buy into them in preseason. I'm not pretending like I was like, oh, yeah, of course. But I watched in preseason. I was like, I can see the argument, but I still didn't think so. And now you look at them, and I knew their defense was good, but, man, they're good. I got to imagine, do you have any exposure on them anymore, or was there a little enough bets that it's not too bad?
On the season win total, absolutely. They're the most popular.
Oh, wow.
Bet for the season win total was the over Bills. I think it was 8.5, and they're already sitting at 4-1. So
I know.
So I mean, that's they'd have to implode for not to cover that 8.5 win total. So yeah, that'll be that's a sweat for us. But sure. What can you do?
Right. Yeah. I mean, everything can change quickly. I mean, Minnesota, I thought was going to be much better, and they're not. An injury could happen here or there. I mean, the Jets with Luke Falk starting at quarterback, who thought that would happen to start the season? You just never know. That's why, futures aren't my favorite thing because of that. It's almost like you're betting on the quarterback to stay healthy for 16 games. It's just too much variance and your money's locked up for a while. But okay, let me ask you, Super Bowl wise, are there people moving? I remember probably the last time we talked, Cleveland was still at plus 1200. I'm looking at it. The number I see for Bet Online is at plus 2500 now. But is there anybody flying up the board? Is it like a Green Bay or maybe like a New Orleans with Bridgewater? Or who are the biggest movers lately?
Yeah, I mean, New Orleans, they dropped down after Breeze went out. They dropped down a bunch, and now they're up, sitting there plus 900, which is the only teams in front of them are the Patriots and the Chiefs. I mean, they were down to, 2,500, maybe even a little longer after Breeze went out. Eagles are heading back up. Now at 12 to 1. They were, down in that 20 plus 2,500 range. Cowboys are going back down. They're plus 2,000, 20 to 1. They were higher. So yeah, a lot of moving, shaking. These things change so much week to week, though. When it all takes is one big victory, and everybody's back on the bandwagon, pounding into it, or a team looks bad for a week, and everybody's jumping off the bandwagon.
Yeah, that Dallas one is interesting, and I hadn't noticed, but I'm looking at it now, and sure enough, down they go. And the last 2 weeks I predicted I think I predicted they would pull it off against the Saints, but I predicted they would lose. That was one of the games I got right this week. Like I said, I had a good week. I had awful weeks 3 and 4, but I was good in week 5, thankfully. But yeah, I mean, I still like this team a lot. They can play defense and they can run the ball, and I think Dak Prescott, he's getting a lot of flack, and the play caller there is that Kellen Moore's getting a lot of flack, but I don't see any reason to be jumping off of Dallas at this point. But, I get it. Two losses in a row against probably the two best teams they've played this year. Things are going to move.
Right.
Oh, I'm looking through and I'm trying to find some value here. Oh, I see a perfect one. 250,000 plus 250,000 Washington Redskins. Let me put some money on that garbage franchise. Yeah, the franchise of my youth,
they're neck and neck there with they're neck and neck there with the Dolphins, which is going to be a great game this Sunday. What Redskins at the Dolphins? I'm calling it the Tua Tagovailoa Bowl. So
Miami's going to win that game.
Yeah.
Do you know what the line is? I don't have that one in front of me.
Yeah, Miami's actually getting 3.5 at home, which I kind of like that. I'd hate to bet on the Dolphins, but I mean, anything over a field goal. And what the look ahead last week was 6.5, which I just could not believe. I mean,
yeah, that's too much.
God awful too. So, So yeah, I might have to bet that game and take the points in the Dolphins at home.
Yeah, I mean that game. So like I've been watching. One of the things I do now with the YouTube, I was telling you off the air. One of the things I do with the YouTube channel is I do this thing called the Fantasy Football Fallout. And part of the gist is, you know, I have NFL Game Pass, so I go back and I watch. I literally watch every single game of the week, you know, in the condensed form. I don't watch them, you know, as if they were live.
Right.
And I've watched, you know, every Dolphins game. And as bad as they look and as bad as the stats are, I got to say they don't look that bad. It's like I just don't think they have any depth. And then it's like always like halfway through the third quarter, they start to implode. But, they played the Patriots tough in the first half. They played the Dolphins tough in the first half. They played, I believe, the Chargers tough in the first half. Like, they've had a pretty brutal schedule. Baltimore in the first game, of course, they got beaten the crap out of. I think they're going to handle Washington. But, you know, who knows? If I knew, Dave, I wouldn't be talking on this show. That's for sure. I'd be on a yacht.
That's right.
Hey, you got any parting words? I know Bet Online, you know, always, you know, have the odds out there, always great. And as I always talk to you, I want to do one of these presidential shows, some of these things. I just got to get some time. Maybe after the NFL season, we'll start talking about that stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be heating up. I love that. The presidential betting is always a lot of fun with all the debates. And can't wait, man. It makes it very exciting. We're always putting some wacky stuff up there for the debates and whatnot.
Yep. All right, man. I think that's good. I do want to stay in contact. I seriously think it's been like 3 months since we talked, but I'd like to try to get back onto the monthly cadence if you're good with it. And
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. This year has been nutty. I think probably for both of us, but for me, gambling wise, it's been tough. Early sledding. It usually is. Hopefully, things will pan out. Let me ask you this: as a sports book, do you make more money as the weeks go on and as you know Vegas figures things out, or do you see it kind of week to week? It's just kind of up and down.
Up and down, you know, people always, you know, say that, but you know, as we're figuring out, bettors are figuring out too. And vice versa. You know, that's what I always hear people, oh, don't bet week one because you don't know much. Well, if you don't know much, the books don't,
yeah,
you know,
it's true.
Not like it's all relative, you know, so it comes down to who the big public teams are covering or not, you know what I mean?
Right.
So up and down.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Well, hey, Dave, thanks again for being on, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Awesome. Man. Thanks for having me.
All right, peace.
Take care.
And now would be a great time to talk about our favorite partners, betonline.ag. You can head there. Week 6 is going on. We have the Major League Baseball playoffs, college football. You just heard Dave talking about that. You know, there's definitely opportunities out there for bettors if you were listening. You know, I can't really say enough about this place. You know, they get the lines out early. They're awesome. The NFL, college football, MLB playoff action, it's all heating up. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One, betonline.ag, to take advantage of the best promos in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your 50% sign up bonus. Eagles, Vikings, Seahawks, Browns, Houston, Kansas City, 49ers, Rams, two of the greatest games. I just can't wait to watch these guys. Houston, Kansas City, 49ers at Rams specifically. I'm going to put action on both of those games. Lions, Packers, you got Oklahoma at Texas, Texas A&M at Alabama, Michigan State at Wisconsin, Florida at LSU, USC at Notre Dame. It's a great weekend. So everybody, go out there once again. Get in on all that action. You visit betonline.ag. And don't forget the promo code PODCAST1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
What's up, Brian Deegan here. I'm excited to bring you our podcast, The Deegans, that will be every Wednesday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. We'll be covering many subjects such as racing, family, how we stay together, how we thrive as a family. So I think it's exciting. We're going to cover all those subjects and many more.
Be sure you guys check out our new podcast, The Deegans, airing every Wednesday on Podcast One and on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review.
Hey everybody, welcome to another installment of the Start, Sit, and Daily Fantasy Budget Players and Sleepers selection. So as a reminder for everybody, I do my own daily fantasy football analytics. If you want to sign up for them, check out the details in the comments. You can just send me an email. It's a free distribution list. I don't charge for anything. They're the same analytics that help fuel my fantasy football almanac and draft guide before the season. And the in-season stuff gets better and better as the weeks go on. These are computer projections. They have nothing to do with my bias. I do fuel some data from watching all of the games. I do watch all of the games as well for the matchups. So let's just get going. We're going to go game by game, and I'll also give you the touchdown predictions for the games as well. So let's start with Thursday Night Football. We have the New York Giants versus the New England Patriots. This is not a favorable matchup for New York. Oh, also, before I get going, there are a lot of players on the injury report this week. To get this out early enough in the week, there's going to be some variance out there. I use CBS and their injury report for me in the format. That's what I like. But please, you know, if you're playing Daily Fantasy or using this for your start sit and your waiver wire, check, obviously, Sunday, NFL.com/inactives, about an hour before game time, and make sure that those players are still in here. So the players I'm talking about today, as of now, are going to be at least questionable, or, you know, I think are likely to play, but that could change. But anyway, let's get back into it. The Giants, not a favorable matchup. You have Sterling Shepard out. You have Evan Ingram out. You have Saquon Barkley out. You have Wayne Gallman, the backup, out. So what does that leave left for New York? Not much, frankly. Philip Dorsett on New England side is out as well. So here's what I like for New York. Nobody. But what you can do if you're looking for daily fantasy, if you're playing the Thursday night showdown or something like that, Rhett Ellison is super cheap. I think he's a nice option. If New York is going to score a touchdown, I do not think they will tonight. At least that's what my analytics say. If they score a touchdown, it's going to be a Daniel Jones to Rhett Ellison pass. That's what my analytics are telling me. New England, I think Brady has a nice game. He's definite start. I think he has about three touchdowns. I don't like Sony Michel to score a touchdown this week. I do like James White to score a touchdown this week. I also like Julian Edelman. I know he's questionable, but I think he'll play. He played last week. I like Edelman to get one to two touchdowns this week. And Josh Gordon, I actually had Philip Dorsett getting in the end zone. I think that third touchdown is going to go somewhere. It might go to James White. It might go to a guy like Josh Gordon, although I don't love his projections. But thanks to Philip Dorsett being out, I was going to say Josh Gordon is a sit, but I would actually improve him, you know, because the pass distribution is going to be anywhere. So there you go. Daily fantasy sleeper again. It would probably be Rhett Ellison. So your starts are basically Ellison. If you need somebody, a tight end off the bench, because those targets have to go somewhere. I don't like Golden Tate this week, by the way. New England, once again, it's Tom Brady's start. He's going to get two to three touchdown passes. I like James White to get in the end zone. So let's call Tom Brady three touchdowns, James White a touchdown, Julian Edelman two touchdowns, and there might be another one there for Josh Gordon, but I would say no. Maybe he'll get a lot of yards. Moving it on, we have Carolina versus Tampa Bay. Kyle Allen, I have as a sit this week. I think he'll get maybe one touchdown pass. I don't really like it. Christian McCaffrey's a start every week. I don't care what my analytics say, but they do say he'll get in the end zone probably twice this week. I like DJ Moore to get in the end zone. I think he will get a touchdown. Curtis Samuel, I think, will have yards, but won't get in the end zone. Those are my starts. And I also like Greg Olson. I think he's a touchdown candidate as well. I have him projected at a 17. So that means Allen might be at one to two touchdowns, probably one and a half in the projections. I think Olson will get in the end zone. It's really him or DJ Moore, but I think both are starts. On the Tampa Bay side, I have Jameis Winston as a start, but I don't have him a strong start. I think he'll throw some interceptions and get some negative points. If you have other better options, I would, you know, look towards later in this podcast. I have him at a 19. I have Mike Evans at a 14, so he's a start. And then I have Godwin get in the end zone again this week. I think Godwin's going to do well. I don't have anybody else. I don't like the running backs. Their sits. I don't like the tight ends. Their sits for me against Carolina. Cincinnati versus Baltimore. Usually I like Andy Dalton, especially as a cheap daily fantasy play. That is not the case this week. I have him as a sit. I have Mixon as a sit. I have Gio Bernard as a sit. I have Tyler Boyd as a start. And I have Auden Tate as a waiver wire daily fantasy sleeper as a start. I think one of those two guys will get a touchdown. My money is on Auden Tate to get the touchdown and Tyler Boyd to move the chains and get more yardage. And that is it for Cincinnati. If you're looking for a waiver flyer, you could maybe do Eifert off the bench and tight end. But I wouldn't. I think there's a lot better value for tight ends, so there are sits for me as well. Baltimore, on the other hand, Lamar Jackson is a start. I think he's going to have a nice rushing day. I think he'll bounce back from that three interception performance. I have him at a 23, so that's a nice projection. Probably two touchdown passes. Mark Ingram, I think, gets in the end zone on the ground. He's a start. Marquise Brown, he's questionable. I have him getting in the end zone this week and having a very nice week if he plays. I also, thanks to this Cincinnati defense, I also think Mark Andrews is a start and a touchdown candidate as well. So Baltimore, once again, Lamar Jackson, plenty of yards off the ground. I have him as one of my more favorable quarterback options this week. I like Ingram to get in the end zone, and I like Mark Andrews to get in the end zone. And Marquise Brown, if he plays, I think he could get in the end zone as well. Houston versus Kansas City, probably my favorite game, one of the ones I'm most looking forward to watching of the whole season. I think this is going to be an action-packed game. Lots of fantasy value. Deshaun Watson is an obvious start. He could go for 3 to 4 touchdowns this week. I don't think he'll get 5. I had him at 4 last week, and he exceeded expectations, though. I don't like Carlos Hyde or Duke Johnson this week. They're sits for me. You can do better elsewhere. Of the two, I have Carlos Hyde getting an 11. That's some catches, that's some runs, but no touchdowns. I do think that DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller will have some value. I don't love them, though, this week. For daily fantasy, I think they're both going to be overrated in terms of value. I think that DeAndre Hopkins will get in the end zone, but I don't really love any of the other players. There's going to be a lot of variance. The Kenny Stills versus Kiki QT thing, that's something we have to feel out as I look at the waiver report. If Kenny Stills plays, I think he could be a touchdown candidate. It's a daily fantasy sleeper. Or off the bench. Will Fuller, I know he had a beast of a game last week. I think he's going to come back down to earth. So my guess is probably Hopkins and Fuller maybe come in with a touchdown with another guy coming in the end as well. Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, I think he has 3 to 4 touchdowns in a bounce back week. Running backs wise, I think Damian Williams is the start there, not LeSean McCoy. I like Damian Williams. I don't think he'll get a touchdown, but he'll score nicely, so he's a start. If Tyreek Hill plays, he's on the injury report. If he plays, I think he has a really big game at over a 30, actually, in the DraftKings scoring mechanism. So he's a definite start with maybe 2 touchdowns. Sammy Watkins, same deal. He's questionable with a hamstring. Who knows if he's going to play? My guess is no, honestly. Hamstrings are tough to come back from, but I have him scoring well. So basically what that means for me is if Watkins doesn't play, you want to look at a guy like DeMarcus Robinson, and you want to look at a guy like Mecole Hardman as a daily fantasy kind of candidate. I do think that second targeted receiver and even the third targeted receiver for Kansas City will do well. And I do think Kelce responds after his tough Sunday night matchup last week. I think he'll get in the end zone as well. Moving it on, we have New Orleans versus Jacksonville. Another good game. I'm actually looking forward to this one as well. I think it's going to be closer than people think. A little bit more lower scoring. I don't think New Orleans is going to run away with the game. But I have Bridgewater as a sit this week. I have Kamara as a start. He gets in the end zone. I have Mike Thomas as a start. I think he gets in the end zone this week. But I don't think anybody else for New Orleans is a start or gets in the end zone. So I think the touchdowns all go to Kamara and Thomas this week. Jacksonville, I have Gardner Minshew as a definite start this week. I have Fournette as a start and a touchdown player. I have DJ Chark as a start, but I actually think the touchdowns may be going to Conley and D.D. Westbrook this week. I think Chark, regardless, should be a start. He might not get in the end zone. I actually have him projected at a 12, whereas I have Chris Conley and Westbrook both projected in like the teens, a little bit higher. So in terms of daily fantasy, they give you some value. In terms of picking people up off of waiver wires, those guys might give you value. My preference is D.D. Westbrook this particular week, not Chris Conley. But once again, I think Gardner Minshew has a nice game. I have him actually getting a rushing touchdown as well as maybe 2 throws in the end zone. And DJ Chark, he's always a start. So get him in there, and then D.D. Westbrook as well. Nobody else for Jacksonville. Moving on, we have Philadelphia versus Minnesota. Philadelphia, Carson Wentz at this point is a start, but he's a borderline start. I like Jameis Winston better than him. So again, if you have better options, you can do better. Let's see. I don't like Jordan Howard this week, but I do like Miles Sanders. So he's a start and a touchdown candidate. I think Alshon Jeffrey gets in the end zone. We'll see what's up with DeSean Jackson. If he plays, I lean towards start. I don't have the analytics favorable for him, but remember, DeSean Jackson's missed a lot of time, and the analytics are now using a lot of in-season data. So with respect to DeSean Watson, they're a little bit off. I favor DeSean Jackson if he plays, but that's a gut thing. That's not a computer thing, which I'm reading off of right now. And Zach Ertz, I think, has a game, gets in the end zone. I think he has a nice game this week. I don't think that he's a great daily fantasy play because of his budget, but I do think he gets in the end zone. Minnesota, on the other hand, Cousins is a sit for me. Dalvin Cook is a definite start. probably get in the end zone. I actually like Diggs over Thielen this week. So daily fantasy wise, not Thielen, go with Diggs. I think both could get in the end zone. I have both as starts, but I don't, you know, again, Thielen just costs more than Diggs does in daily fantasy. So why would you buy, why would you buy Thielen when you can buy Diggs for less? So I do think Diggs gets in there and has a better game, even with all the drama that's going on, assuming he doesn't get suspended, get himself suspended by the end of the week. Next game, we have Seattle versus Cleveland. I think Russell Wilson has a great game. 3 touchdowns, easy. I think Chris Carson has a great game. They commit to the run. I like him to get in the end zone on the ground or through the air. And then Seattle this week, I think Disley has a nice game. I think he gets in the end zone as well. As for the other touchdown, you know, I'm looking through. It could really, analytically speaking, it doesn't say. It could go to Penny out of the backfield. It could go to Lockett. It could go to DK Metcalf. Those are probably the three most likely. Based on my analytics, I would say Lockett. I mean, they have great chemistry. I don't think Metcalf scores this week. I've been right on him so far throughout this entire season. I've been right on Disley aside from one game. So again, Disley is my favorite out of this whole Seahawks team. And I like Carson and Wilson to score well. On the Cleveland side, I have Baker Mayfield as a sit this particular week. I have Nick Chubb as a start, but of course that depends on whether or not Freddie Kitchens will hand him the ball. I've been very critical of Freddie Kitchens and his love of just evacuating that whole run game. So they got to give him the ball, but this is a week that Nick Chubb could score well. Hopefully they could get him the ball in space, maybe involve him in the screen game as well. This is an opportunity game for Chubb. This is a definite start if you have him. I don't know why you would ever sit him down, but if Kitchens feeds Chubb, you will be rewarded. Let's see. I actually have Jarvis Landry over over Odell Beckham this week. I think Landry finds the end zone. I think Beckham has a fine game. You can start him, but I don't think he gets in the end zone this week. And then a candidate, a sleeper candidate off the bench in a daily fantasy sleepers, Seals Jones, tight end there. I think he has opportunity against this Seattle defense. He could find the end zone as well. That's a 50-50 thing for me. I'm not really, really bullish on him. I actually have him projected as, you know, basically like an 8. So that to me is low catches, 1 touchdown for him. But if you're looking, if you're in a touchdown only league and you need a tight end this week, that's a great play in my opinion, off the bench or off waivers, and daily fantasy cycle him through and see what happens. Moving it on, we have Washington versus Miami. This game I think is going to offer some scoring to both sides. I think both defenses give up a little bit, a lot of bit of yardage. Washington gives up opportunities to the tight ends and slot receivers, and the second really split receiver. Miami will give up yardage and scoring chances more in the running game and in the tight end game. So the difference is with Jay Gruden being fired. I actually Chris Thompson was one of my favorite plays of the season, but then Jay Gruden gets fired. I don't know what the play calling is going to be like, so this is going to carry a degree of risk. You know, I'm probably going to need to calibrate after seeing a couple of Bruce Callahan led games, but let me just go through the analytics that I have. Washington, I have Colt McCoy as a start. Daily fantasy, he's going to be dirt cheap. I think he'll get some touchdowns. I had Chris Thompson as a 19. That's a screen pass. It's a lot of catches and a touchdown out of the backfield. Again, Jay Gruden calling the game, I would have loved it. Callahan, we don't know. I would have loved it. I will put Chris Thompson into some of my lineups in daily fantasy. Terry McLaurin also gets in the end zone this week, and Vernon Davis is another good tight end candidate to get in the end zone. So a lot of opportunity there. Now Miami, I think, is going to be nice. While I have Rosen, Kenyon Drake, and Ballage on the bench, I do like Devonta Parker and Preston Williams to possibly get in the end zone this week. So it'll be an interesting game. My analytics like Washington. I'm, you know, after watching these games, I actually think Miami's underrated. We'll see what happens, but you know, Miami's is just a better first half team than they are second half team, which to me lends me to the idea that they don't have a lot of depth. Guys get tired, they get rolled over, you know, starting about halfway through the third quarter. But again, you know, Washington, there's a lot to like in this game, in my opinion. Washington, my analytics like him, especially Chris Thompson and McLaurin a lot more. Moving on, we have Atlanta versus Arizona. Another game I like, I'm looking forward to. I like watching Kyler Murray play, and Matt Ryan is starting to string better games together, thankfully. He's starting to take care of the ball little bit more. I have Matt Ryan as a definite start. I have him at a 30, which is a big number for him. That's 3 to 4 touchdowns and nice yardage. I actually have Devontae Freeman, who I'm usually kind of sour on. I was higher on him last week. He got in the end zone. I think he's a candidate to get in the end zone as well in the screen game. Julio Jones is definitely a play to me, and I like Sanu over Calvin Ridley this week. Sanu was one of my waiver wire pickups this week. I like him as a pickup and start. I like him as a daily fantasy budget player. Sanu is a touchdown candidate, and I love Austin Hooper this week against Arizona. Arizona is susceptible to the tight end passing game. Austin Hooper has great hands. They involve him in the offense. I have Hooper. My analytics are spitting out a 34 for Hooper, believe it or not. So I'm going to be working him in a lot of my games. I just think this is going to be a great matchup. He's my favorite tight end of the week for Atlanta, analytically speaking. For Arizona, I think Kyler Murray has a fine game. I think he'll give you some runs. I think he'll give you 2 touchdown passes, maybe even add another one on the ground. Here's the deal. David Johnson is questionable, I think, with a concussion. He hasn't practiced yet this week, as far as I know. So that means Chase Edmonds or David Johnson, whoever the running back here, is going to have a nice game. I predicted the same last week, and actually, I think both actually had nice games. Chase Edmonds came in and got a touchdown, I think, after Johnson got injured. I think the running back will get a touchdown here. I have the running back at a 15, regardless if it's DJ or if it's Chase Edmonds. And Chase Edmonds would be a great waiver plug-in and play this week, and a great daily fantasy play if DJ can't go. Larry Fitzgerald, I have getting in the end zone. Christian Kirk is going to have a nice week, but he's questionable as well, so you have to see. If Christian Kirk doesn't play, I think Keyshawn Johnson is a great waiver wire pickup, a great daily fantasy sleeper. I have that that positioning group, basically that wide receiver slotted position, at a 21, so that's a touchdown candidate as well, a definite touchdown, actually. So I like him quite a bit. I hope Kirk plays, but if he doesn't, Keyshawn Johnson is my guy. Moving on, we got San Francisco versus LA, another great game, another game I'm just excited to watch. I have Garoppolo as a sit. I have Tevin Coleman as a start and a touchdown he'll get in the end zone. I have Matt Breida as a start. If you're rattling off multiple games of 10 yards per carry, you got to start the dude. San Francisco runs well. I think the Rams will give the San Francisco running attack a little bit more problems than they've had. I think Garoppolo will have to throw the ball a little bit more. It'll be an interesting game to watch, tactically, strategically speaking, to see what these two divisions. You know, the Rams coming off a couple losses now. They're going to be interesting, at least one loss, but the Rams coming off that loss, I have a hard time believing that the Rams, I think, are going to lose 3 games in a row. I'm sorry, but I think the Rams will win. I think it's going to be a close game and a nice high-scoring game. Moving on to the receivers, I think Deebo Samuel gets in the end zone. He's a waiver candidate as well if he's available in your league in a daily fantasy play. Kittle, I actually don't have as a start. No, I take that back. I'm looking at the wrong line. Kittle is a start, and I think he'll get in the end zone. So it's Deebo Samuel and Kittle in the passing game, but this is mostly a run game. I think Coleman is the best scorer in this team with a 17. Kittle is more about like a 10, so, you know, maybe like 4 or 5 grabs and a touchdown. Again, if you want the full point projections, just email me. I'm at functionalsportsaholic@gmail.com. You can check the comments below too. In the show notes, I'll put the email address in there. Let's see. The Rams, I have Goff as a sit. I have Gurley, who is questionable, by the way, as a sit this week. Although he's in my lineup, let me tell you, I'm not beholden to these things. He's in my lineup. I'm going to start him, even though my analytics say not a great week for him. Just, what that means to me is if you play daily fantasy, don't buy Todd Gurley. That's it. If he's on your fantasy football roster, I think you can start him. I think you have to, honestly. I am. Let's see. Brandon Cooks, assuming he plays. I thought he was questionable. I might be wrong on that. Brandon Cooks will have a nice game. I don't think he'll get in the end zone. I think Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp have nice games. I think they do get in the end zone. Gerald Everett, I think he'll have catches and yardage, but I don't think he gets in the end zone this week. But he's somebody who's another kind of waiver wire guy longer term. I like his... McVay likes to use tight ends with the struggling run game, the struggling offensive line. They're hitting more passes. You know, they're going to try to work the flats a little bit more and work those tight end outs. That's Sean McVay loves the seam route, the tight end out, and the tight end in. And I think Gerald Everett is the kind of the dynamic playmaker at that position. Let's see. We have Dallas now moving it on to the New York Jets. All right, Dallas against the New York Jets. I have Dak Prescott as a start and a rebound. I have Ezekiel Elliott as a definite start, although I don't think he's going to find the end zone. Get fine yards, but not find the end zone. Dak Prescott will get to Amari Cooper if Amari Cooper plays. He's also questionable. I think Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup both score touchdowns this week. Amari Cooper might even get two. And then Randall Cobb, if you're looking for a daily fantasy budget player or a or like a waiver plug-in and play. I have like Randall Cobb spat out a 12 for me this week. I think Randall Cobb is a touchdown candidate. I like him more than I like Witten. Sometimes I like Witten. Sometimes I like the slot guy. I like Cobb this week as a potential plug-in and play and get a touchdown. I think he'll score nicely regardless. But again, I think touchdowns definitely are going towards Gallup and Amari Cooper. On the New York Jets side, Sam Darnold's back. The whole metrics for the Jets are skewed because it's giving me Luke Falk data. This team is different. Sam Darnold being back helps Le'Veon Bell quite a bit. Le'Veon Bell is a definite start. I think he'll get in the end zone. In the very least, he'll get you a lot of grabs if you're in a PPR league. I think Darnold will help this Jets team immensely. I have the quarterback for the Jets projected at a 4. Darnold will exceed those expectations. I wouldn't start him yet. I would want to see what he looks like. You know, he has to get back in game football shape. I know he's only playing quarterback, so it's not like you're playing running back or offensive line and all that. It's not as physically demanding, but I want to see him. He's going to be a little bit rusty, so I'm not going to play him, but I do think the rest of the Jets get better. Robbie Anderson I have projected at a 5. Again, I think he's going to outproduce that. He'll probably be at a 10. I think Jamison Crowder is the best of the plays this week if you're looking for somebody. I think he'll get a lot of catches. I don't have him getting in the end zone, but again, this is given off of a lot of Luke Falk throwing the ball for the Jets type data. I think Le'Veon Bell safely gets in the end zone. I think the most likely receiver to get in the end zone here is Crowder. So he's the receiver I would pick, not Robbie Anderson. But again, there's going to be a lot of variance with this Jets team. I have to calibrate once I get a little bit more Sam Darnold data, and I will do that. Three games left here. We have Tennessee at Denver. Interesting game for me. I think it'll be lower scoring. I don't think Mariota is a start. I don't think Joe Flacco is a start on Denver's side. I think Derrick Henry will get another touchdown. He'll have tough sledding, though. I think Denver will limit his rushing yardage, but I do think he'll get in the end zone. He's a definite start. I don't love him in daily fantasy, though. He's probably going to be a little bit too rich for my blood. And I don't like anybody else for Tennessee. For Denver, I think Philip Lindsay scores well, could potentially get in the end zone. I think Royce Freeman scores well enough to start, although I don't love either one of them in daily fantasy. I do think that Cortland Sutton does well, and I think Emmanuel Sanders, assuming he plays, he's also questionable. I think Emmanuel Sanders gets in the end zone, and then I think a Denver tight end will get in the end zone, but here's the thing. I don't know if it's going to be Heuerman or if it's going to be Fant. Smart money would be on Fant, but I think Denver's tight end will score. It's going to be an interesting game there. Two games left. We have Pittsburgh versus the Los Angeles Chargers. Mason Rudolph, honestly, I can't remember if he's on the injury report. I know he got a concussion, so he should be. I'm assuming he will play, but I have him as a sit regardless, so sit the Pittsburgh quarterback. James Conner, I don't think he's on the injury report, and Jalen Samuel is out. So I think James Conner will be involved a little bit more. I think he's a start, and he'll get in the end zone. If you're looking for that backup or that secondary Pittsburgh running back, it would be, I think it's Benny, but it's definitely Snell, S-N-E-L-L. I think Pittsburgh is going to have to utilize the running backs. I think Snell could get himself 15 touches this week. So look for him. I think he could be a really sneaky, really inexpensive daily fantasy guy. I wouldn't put him in my fantasy football lineup. I'm more on James Conner. In the passing game, I actually don't like, I do like Smith-Schuster. I think he'll have a nice game for you. He's a start. I don't know if he'll get in the end zone, but he'll get plenty of catches and yards. And then my favorite, and James Washington's out, Deontay Johnson is a guy that you need to be picking up and stashing on your lineups. He's a candidate to get in the end zone this week as well. For the Chargers, I think Rivers is a start. I think that he's at around 17, 18. Again, Jameis Winston, to me, scores higher. So if you're looking at a pecking order in daily fantasy, I actually like Winston more than I like Philip Rivers this week. I think both Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler are starts. I said that last week as well and got burned on that. I don't think either one's great. I have them both projected at a 13 to 14. So one of those guys will get more yardage. One of those guys get in the end zone. My guess is Gordon gets in the end zone and Eckler gets a lot of catches. Let's see. I have Keenan Allen having a nice game, touchdown candidate. And this is my prediction. Mike Williams gets in the end zone this week. I think they finally make that happen. Hunter Henry may be back. I'm not super high on him. I always think he's a little overrated. Let me see him make it through a game without getting injured first. I don't love him. Mike Williams is my plug and play my daily fantasy diamond in the rough in this particular game. Last game of the week, we got Monday Night Football, Detroit versus Green Bay. I have Stafford as a start. I like him. I have Kerryon Johnson as a start. I think he finds the end zone. I have Galladay getting in the end zone. He's a start. I have Marvin Jones potentially getting in the end zone as well. The touchdown, in my opinion, is either going to go two. There's one touchdown left in this projection. I would say 60% on the side of Marvin Jones, 40% on the side of TJ Hawkinson, but regardless, I think both are starts. Now, Green Bay, I think Aaron Rodgers is a start every week. Analytically, my analytics don't like him, frankly, but I think if you have Aaron Rodgers on your team, you have to start him. So again, you know, I'm disagreeing with my computers a little bit. If you're in daily fantasy, don't buy him. But if you're in fact, if you're playing like a Monday night showdown or something like that, or if you do like the Sunday night, Monday night, my favorite matchup in daily fantasy for the Sunday night, Monday night would be Stafford. And obviously on Monday night, it would be Stafford. Running back wise, you're definitely a start. I like Jones more than I like, Kerryon Johnson. And actually, as a split, because Kerryon Johnson would be too expensive, I would just take the entire Green Bay Packers backfield if you're doing versus mode, you know, only Green Bay or Detroit games. I like Aaron Jones there as a 25. The Sunday and Monday night match I would have ranked as follows: Aaron Jones at number one with a 25, James Conner number two at about a 15. Number three would be Kerryon Johnson at about a 13. Number four would be Austin Eckler and Melvin Gordon also at about a 13. But you're talking about expensive players there. My next kind of backup secondary running back there would be Williams, assuming he plays for Green Bay. Now we got, if Davante Adams plays, I have him getting in the end zone. I think he'll have one to two touchdowns. I think he's the only guy that gets in the end zone in the receiving game for Green Bay this week. I have the rest as sits, including Jimmy Graham, the tight end. If he doesn't play, Davante Adams doesn't play, I think the touchdowns would be split between Valdez, Scantling, and Allison. So if Adams does not play, the other two guys, Valdez, Scantling, and Allison, become starts for me. If Adams does play, I would bench both of those guys. Detroit-wise, receiving game, I mentioned Galladay, I mentioned Jones, and I mentioned Hawkinson. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to like in that game. I think that's going to be a closer game, too. Lambeau Field, Monday Night Football. I don't have my score projection in front of me. I'll tell you what the computer spat out, though. Let me just pull that spreadsheet up. It has Detroit 22, Green Bay 27. So I think, you know, both teams will score some touchdowns, maybe three touchdowns apiece between them. So it'll be a close game. It'll be an interesting one, but there you go. That takes me through a week of touchdown predictions, daily fantasy predictions, waiver wire, starts and sits, and of course your regular start and sit. Please subscribe to this channel. We do videos. You can check out my week 6 playcast. That should also be in the show notes below. I'm sorry, week 6 primer. We do every single game-by-game preview, so if you're curious about what Brad and I from the Get Paid podcast think about any of these games or any of the players in them, we can talk about that. Obviously, we had our start sit. We have the waiver wire stuff that comes out on Mondays, so I'll have the week 7 playlist early next week as well. So we add to that, and then we do game pick'ems if you're into gambling. We went 5-1 last week. I personally was 11-4 against all games against the spread. Things are starting to ratchet up for me. I'm doing better. So yeah, that's how last season went too. So if you're a longtime follower, you know the drill. If you're new, let me pat myself on the back. You know, over the last 5 or 6 years, I've averaged like 63%. So everybody says it. I have the statistics to back it up, and now I have a long video list that I'm going to back up, putting my money where my mouth is as well. So again, everybody, thank you. Help our channel grow, subscribe, watch some videos, and we will catch you on another episode and many, many more episodes of many more shows as well. Thanks, everyone.